Well, today, Pastor called me about a month ago, and he got on the phone, and he said, Mel, he said, I'm going to be going on vacation the 23rd of June. He said, I'd like to have you take my place and preach for me. And I said, man, don't you have all those wonderful leaders that you have, the elders? I said, every one of them can preach. And he said, no, he says, we want you. Amen. So you're going to get caught with me today. And I've had a lot of things in my heart that I want to talk to about. And one of the main ones is salvation. How do you get saved? And what do you have to believe in order to be saved? And so inside of your bulletin, you have a page in there. That looked like this. Now, one of the things I want to mention is that I will be referring to a lot of verses that are not listed here. So if you have a pen, and now I've already put up here in the top some verses from the book of Matthew that I wanted to touch. But whenever I mention that, then you go ahead and add them to it. And my topic is salvation. Romans 1:16, and this is something that I picked up from one of the ministers that I saw on TV years ago, and he always started his sermon with this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that means the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Period. So many people will add something onto that. People like to do something in order to be saved. And you can't. When Jesus Christ finished the completed work, he paid for every one of your sins and every one of mine. Not only the past, but what I'm going to be doing today, tomorrow, and in ages to come. Every sin has already been paid by Jesus Christ. Now, what is the gospel that we need today? I want to go ahead and this is my old study Bible. It's getting torn up. Jesus, when he came to here on earth, one of his first times that he met with his disciples, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, you can put that down on your paper if you want to. And it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was preaching the kingdom. Now, if you know what the kingdom is, how many of you know what that means? Some of you do. Wow, good. Really what it is, in the future, God is going to bring Jesus Christ back down to earth, and then for 1,000 years, he's going to reign as king here upon this earth. And that is his kingdom, and that was what he was preaching. if the Jews had only accepted him, they would have already had the kingdom, but they didn't accept him. And then and the next verse I want to read is in chapter 10, and this is verses 5 through 8. And this is where Jesus commands his disciples. And Jesus sent them out and commanded them, not just told them, he commanded this. And you know, these disciples never forgot that. All the rest of their life that this command was for them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. How many of you are Gentiles here today? Yeah. Jesus saying, don't go into the way of the Gentiles. Well, he did. And do not enter into the city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where they were supposed to go to preach. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now that was a kingdom that Jesus preached, and that's how the Jewish people were saved, right on through the time that Jesus was here upon this earth, and even after his death, as Peter wrote in the book of Acts. Now, what about us? What about us Gentiles? Well, God chose one man about in the middle of the book of Acts, I believe in the 8th chapter or so, a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. It wasn't a guy you want to meet. Because Saul of Tarsus, what he was doing was looking for every Jewish person that had accepted Jesus Christ and said that they believed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And if he found one of them, he would make them, you might say, deny it completely, or he would bring them back to Jerusalem where they would be tried, and he would then give his voice against them, and they'd be stoned to death. Now, I don't know if you ever would think of what stoning to death means, but that is what a lot of Jewish people, what had happened to them. But then God chose this man, Saul of Tarsus. And on the way to Damascus to bring people from there, a bright light shone down upon him, and he fell to the ground. And he says, Lord, who are you? And Jesus replied back to him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you're persecuting. That man was saved that day. He admitted that Jesus was the Messiah, was the King. And then he went I won't go too far into his life, but he was the one that, after 3 years and spending it in Arabia, he came back where he had met with Jesus, and Jesus gave him all of the information that he needed to preach to the Gentiles. I have a, and this is a message that Jesus told him to give to the Gentiles, that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That was the thing that we have to believe, that Jesus Christ, when he went to that cross and he shed his blood, that was for our payment of our sins. And then he was buried, and he was buried in that grave for 3 days and three nights. Now, Jesus himself mentioned that in Matthew. I'll show it to you a little later. But anyhow, in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22, for as by man came death, and that was through Adam, by man also has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And then I've got just short, a little bit below that, and then all shall be saved? No. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. There's a lot of people today, they don't want salvation. They like the kind of life they're living, and they're content with that, but they don't realize what they're going to end up at. Now I want to turn on to the book of Romans. That is one of my favorite books. And I don't know how many of you folks have read the Bible through for a year. Well, from the time I was saved, for the next 50 years, my wife and I read that Bible through every year. And finally, after 50 years of doing that, one New Year's Eve, after we had finished, we looked at each other and said, what did we learn this year? And then we realized that what we were missing was the study of the Bible. And we started in the book of Romans, because Betty and I had one of the best teachers in the book of Romans you could ever want. That was Dr. Lan Clayson. Many of you may not know that name, but you know Awana. He was the one that started Awana in the gospel center that he had in northern part of Chicago. He saw all these kids running around his church, and finally he started getting them together, and he started Awana in his program, and I mean it blossomed through many, many churches, and we have it here today, in our church today too. But that man preached Romans. And I tell you, he was a hard taskmaster. And we would have some verses for that day. We would have to memorize three or four verses every day in that book of Romans. And then repeat them back to him when we saw him the next day. Well, Lance is with the Lord today, but his memory will continue on with Awana. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, now we know that whatsoever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Are you under the law today? No. The law has been done away with for us as a law itself. We will still do the same things, but with love. It speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And that is how every person who does not come to know the Lord Jesus, he's like been up before a judge for some serious crime, and finally the 12 people come back out of the room and they all stand and they say, guilty. Yes, every person is guilty. But now, in Romans 3, 21 and 22, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And you know, there's one minister I hear every time he comes to that word. He says, and is baptized and joins the local church. It doesn't say that. It says, whoever believes. For there is no distinction. Romans 3:23 says, and I'm sure that most of you may have memorized this at some time, for all have sinned. I mean everyone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what God required was a blood sacrifice for the payment of that sins. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified is something that happens when you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ died on that cross, shed his blood, and was in that grave for 3 days and three nights. Then Romans 3:25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Now that's a big word. I have a hard time even pronouncing it. And it's awful hard to describe exactly what it means, but in 1 John 4:10, it says, God loved us and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins, to complete the work that as a high priest he had to apply the blood to the mercy seat. Now, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, and Mary Magdalene met him. John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles with you, John chapter 20, and this is on a Sunday morning. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, Get that word, underline it. It was early, while it was still dark. It was still nighttime. Do you know how the Jewish people had their days and nights set? It's a lot different than ours. Ours starts at midnight, and you have 6 hours of night. Then you have 12 hours a day. Then you have 6 hours a night. Theirs was completely different. They started at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it was night for 12 hours. And then at 6 in the morning started the day when it was light, and it came down to the evening when to the next night. Now, it says that Mary Magdalene went while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She was there before the day of Sunday. Now, so many of us of Christendom have been told that Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. Folks, I disagree 100% against that. And I will show you how. It was let's see. Anyhow, Mary Magdalene goes and runs and gets Peter and John. They come back and go into the tomb and find that Jesus' body is gone. And Mary stays back while Peter and John return back. But Mary stayed by the tomb and was weeping and looked inside, and the angel said, "Don't weep. He'll be back." And when she saw a man walking by, and she thought he was the gardener, she didn't recognize Jesus, because the last time she had seen Jesus was on that cross. He was beaten. He was, his body was horrible. They had pulled the beards out of his face. And that's how they treated our Savior. But anyhow, she went up to this man and she said, "Are you the gardener? Where have you taken Jesus' body?" And suddenly Jesus said to her, "Mary." And her mouth must have fallen wide open, because she just ran to him and fell at his feet, because she recognized the voice. And it's amazing how people can recognize voices of somebody else. I know, because my wife Betty for over 5 years had macular degeneration, where she couldn't hardly see, just a shadow of a person. And I'd roll her in here on the wheelchair out there, and each one after another would come up to her, and she'd wait until they'd speak, and she would be able to tell who they were just by the voice. And once in a while she wouldn't. Then afterwards, "Who was that?" And so I tell her. But it's amazing, when Jesus said the word Mary, she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. And then Jesus said to her in verse 17, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." What did Jesus mean that he was not yet ascended? Well, he had a job to do. His job, even though he shed his blood and everything was finished on that cross, his job was not completed. Down here now in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. After his resurrection that night, the following day he took his own blood and placed it on the mercy seat in the tabernacle that's in heaven. Now, how many of you know what the tabernacle was in the Old Testament? It was what the children of Israel had during their years when they traveled for 40 years back and forth before going into the promised land. They had a tent, and God had taken Moses up into heaven and showed him the temple that is up in the heaven. It's not made with hands. You can search these verses through. And anyhow, Jesus had to take his own blood. And I'm going to turn to Hebrews. Let me see. I got to look here where it's at. Hebrews chapter 9. I thought I had all these things marked. Chapter 9, starting with verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, as a high priest would do on the Day of Atonement every year when they were in the wilderness. But with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He bought back what was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve, when they ate of that fruit, made everyone that was ever born a sinner. People do not become sinners because they commit a sin. No, they commit the sin because they're already a sinner. But when Jesus did this, he bought back, redeemed. And the old symbol is like you take something and hock it in the hock shop or your ring or something. You need some money. And then in order to get it back, you have to go back and pay again for that same thing. And that is what redemption means. Jesus Christ paid back for every sin that man committed. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and serve the living God? And then there's the verse a little further down on verse 22. According to the law, all things are purified with blood. And then there's one absolute. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. People say there are no absolutes today. Well, this is one of them. It'll be here. It'll be forever. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. The other one is in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And you know, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. It's so much like Paul. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you need faith in order to be saved. Now what, how? But I'm about done, ain't I? Well, I was going to tell you about the 3 days and three nights. Huh? Okay, all right. If you take what is being taught in every church and so forth around the world, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried before evening, and so that Friday would count as one day. Then would come Saturday, or the Sabbath, and you have the night, and then you have the day. So you have 2 days and one night. Then you have Sunday night. And as we read in John 20, Mary was there before the day. So what do you have? You have 2 days and two nights. Is Jesus a liar? If he is, then we might as well throw this thing away and go home and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Let's look in let's see, you gotta go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter, what is that? Chapter 12 and verse 40. If you have your Bibles, just before this, and starting in verse 38, some scribes and Pharisees, they were talking to Jesus, and they said, "Give us a sign." And the Jewish people were always looking for signs. Well, he says, "Teachers, we want to see a sign from you." And he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And for a lot of, I know in a lot of people, in a lot of denominations, they've thrown the book of Jonah out. But here in says, in Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, did you hear that word? How many days? 3 days and three nights. Well, the way we have it, the crucified on Friday, we got 2 days and two nights. What's wrong? Well, I tell you what. Let's go to one Old Testament book. The book of Leviticus, the third book in the Bible. Chapter 23. These are the different feasts that the children of Israel received from Moses. And it says here in 23, starting with verse 3, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord to your dwelling. That was the Sabbath, Saturday Sabbath. Now, go to verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocation, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. The 14th day of what we, which in our calendar would be April. So the 14th day was the Passover. When was Jesus crucified? The Passover, that day. Then, verse 6, and on the 15th day, the day after Passover, the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, when you look in the Gospels, on his crucifixion, you'll find it always, it was, the day of cleansing, I think, something like that. What it meant, that the Jewish people had to take their bread that had yeast in it and get rid of it and throw it out before this day of unleavened bread would come. And they would have to celebrate that for a week. And so and you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work in it. Exactly the same as a Saturday Sabbath. And then the seventh day of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, they would be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work in it. See, they had a lot of Sabbath days. I think one time I counted them up, you have 50 some Saturdays, and it was, I think, 69 other Sabbath days throughout their teachings that they celebrated every day. So what happened? Jesus was not crucified on Friday. I believe, and I know others disagree, some think of Wednesday, but I think it was Thursday. So you'll have your 3 days and three nights. But to try to change, and I mean, I had a problem. See, I was saved in June the 7th, 1946. In April of 47, when Easter came around, and they had this Friday to Sunday, I had a problem with that. I went on to Bible school. And at the Bible, Northwestern Bible School and Seminary, I asked every doctor of every kind that you could come up with, how can you get 3 days and three nights out of death on Friday? They said, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, I have had a lot of ministers, and I mean throughout these years, that, and it bothered me. It was about 15, 16 years ago. It was in April. I woke up in the middle of the night. And this came back to me to look and find the answer. I got up, went to my kitchen table, got my Bible, and got every big book that I could find that had anything in it, and started to read. And I read this verse. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for opening my eyes to know that you are not a liar. You were in that grave 3 days and three nights. And I can have salvation. I can, yes, I can go to heaven. But it isn't just that. It's eternity, forever, that you can spend with God. The folks that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ will be spending that eternity in a lake of fire. Oh, folks, I hope you really realize that you're only saved when you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, shed his blood, and then was in that grave for 3 days and three nights and took his blood and took it and placed it on the mercy seat of the temple that is up in heaven. There you have redemption complete. Let's pray. Oh, precious God, open hearts, open minds. Lord, just help people to realize it's a free gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. Guide us and lead us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.